Welcome to Business Success Radio. My name is Anthony Turner and I'm going to be your host as we chat to everyday small business people about their journeys, their challenges, and hopefully gain some tips about how we can all make our businesses better. Hi, this is Anthony Turner. Today I'm revisiting a 2014 interview I conducted for Business Success Radio with Ben Futrell, who was at that point CEO of a major Australian New Zealand coaching company. In this chat, Ben and I discussed the many benefits of having a coach, how to select a coach, and why a coach is essential for business success going forward, and particularly even more so today with all of the many changes that are happening in our business climate.
Ben, welcome to Business Success Radio and thanks for giving us some time today.
My absolute pleasure and thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Ben, business coaching is something that I think a lot of people probably underestimate the value of it. But before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you sort of developed your own business and became a business coach in the first place?
Sure. It's quite an interesting story. Actually, I was one of those business owners who had built a multi-million-dollar company, yet I was working an insane amount of hours and not making enough money out of my business. In fact, you know, I knew that if I went and worked for somebody else, I'd get paid more than what I paid myself. And, you know, which is sort of, you know, I see this happening a lot with business people. I think it's insane. And, you know, at that point in time, when I finally decided that I had enough of working so hard and not making the money that I wanted to make, I'd actually met a guy who was a business coach. And this was some 14, 15 years ago. And it wasn't a very prominent thing in business. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder if I could do what that guy does, because I know that there's a lot of people in business. I mean, I knew a lot of people. The transport industry is one of those industries that is flooded with people working, you know, 80 hours, 100 hours a week is not uncommon, yet not making a lot of money. The margins weren't great. And I thought, well, I wonder how many other people are like that I could help. So I spoke to this business guy, went and had lunch with this guy, and sort of just asked him a few questions. He didn't know I was meeting with him to potentially become a coach at that time.
Okay.
He thought I was probably meeting with him to engage his services. Yeah. We had a lunch and the rest is history.
You touched on something very interesting, and that's a lot of small business owners, having worked as a business coach and a business mentor in my own right, one of the things that I do see is so many times is that people get very, very caught up in the sort of day-to-day of doing the work in their business, but they fail to take the time to actually stand aside from the business and look at what they need to do to work on the business.
Yeah, I have a name for it. And I tell people I have this very same disease. It's called no one can do it as good as me-itis.
I like it.
And I think a lot of business owners suffer from this. And I think there's two reasons for it. Number one is that they're control freaks. They want to do everything. But I think a core reason for that is because they don't systemize their business to the point where they can trust somebody else to do the work that they do. And I think that's a real shame. You know, I think that it's so easy, especially in 2014, it's so easy to systemize the business. It's very easy to track key performance indicators so you know whether or not something's working. It's very easy to have systems self-reporting on their effectiveness as well with technology. So it's getting easier than it ever was to extract ourselves from the business. But if we have a mindset that we have to be in the business or that customers won't deal with us unless we're there, or, you know, and this happens a lot, you know, and you'd know yourself, Anthony, from dealing with businesses, that a lot of business people think that they're it. And I've even had people say to me, but Ben, my uniqueness is that I am the person that they can contact. And I go, well, that's a silly uniqueness. That's in fact, you're now making a rod for your own back. And if anything ever happened to you as a business owner, well, what's going to happen to the business, you know? So it's a common problem.
Yeah, I think that's probably typically very, very true for many people in the service-based businesses, you know, so whether it's the, you know, accountants, health practitioners, you know, lawyers, whatever, because often the reputation is about the individual and the customers do want to deal with them, and possibly less so in a product space. But for the service-based businesses, how would you suggest that they can extricate themselves out of being the need to go to person?
Well, I think it's about, first of all, making the decision, you know. So it's having that mindset that you're not the best person for the job. You know, when I started my business, I was it. I started from my spare bedroom. I was the business coach. I had, 14, 15 clients that I dealt with. And I always said to myself that no one could do it as good as me. Even when I started in this business, I thought that was the case. Today, we have, you know, hundreds of clients and I don't coach any of them. In fact, I coach my management team. And the coaches, because it's their passion and it's what they do a much better job. So if you're in a service industry, the reality is if you're the business owner and you're delivering the service, you're never going to give it 110%. And the reason for that is because you've got a lot of other hats on as well. You've got to be the administration, you've got to be the, you know, the team leader, you've got to be the general manager, you've got to be the systems instigator, you've got to be the HR, you've got to be everything, right? And so I think when you realize that the service you can provide to your customers is going to be of a much higher quality when you can have people that are just dedicated to that cause, I think it becomes easier. The other thing, I think once a, you know, an owner that's in a service-based business feels that little bit of freedom you can get from having other people do that day-to-day work, it's what I call the demand work. If you know what I mean, Anthony, it's when the phone rings, you've got to answer it. Well, if you're that person, well, then you're stuck in that demand zone and you can't take the day off. You know, in today's age, it's easier to be able to, once again, like I said before, systemize things so you don't need to be there, and there's technology and you can train people and you don't have to be in your business anymore. So I think it really starts with a mindset and understanding that you can provide a better service if you have people dedicated to the cause that you've trained, and you can then service more people.
Yeah, it's a very valid point. And also I think what's interesting is that, and you touched on technology, is that in today's world, those people don't necessarily have to be employees of yours.
No, I've got a full-time employee. It's my virtual assistant who is in the Philippines. And a lot of people are actually a bit funny about that. I'm pretty proud to say that that's what I've done. I'm providing jobs worldwide, globally. And some people are a bit, upset or offended, or they're confused by the whole aspect because they think I'm sending jobs offshore. Well, the reality is I wouldn't have employed a virtual assistant in Australia because of it's cost prohibitive. The second thing is it makes me much more efficient, which means that my company makes more profit, and that allows me to employ more people locally because we've got more customers. And then, of course, the more profit we make, the more we reinvest into the local economy. So I really think sometimes it's about thinking outside the square about, okay, what is the knock-on effect of being able to outsource? And that's one example. You can find people part-time online. You know, there's all these different sites you can go to where you can recruit people on a job-by-job basis as well. It can be quite handy.
Ben, one of the key things that I think a lot of our listeners have trouble with, and people that I've dealt with in the past have trouble with, is justifying in their own mind why they actually need a coach or a mentor or somebody to assist them. What do you find, or what do you believe are the main reasons why somebody really needs a coach in their business?
Well, it's an interesting, because you know, I've heard this many, many times, as you can imagine, over the last 13 years of being in this industry. People go, well, why would I get a coach? Well, And the common answer you'll hear from any business coach is, well, sports people have a coach, so why wouldn't you? And that's fine to say, but it really hasn't washed with business owners. So the way that I like to explain it is this. If I was going to build something, build a house, I was going to make a kitchen, I was going to go into a court case and represent myself, or I was going to doesn't matter what it was. If I was going to build something, if I was going to do something from scratch that I had no experience in whatsoever, and you think about those things, like, for example, say I was going to build a kitchen. If I was going to build a kitchen, it would be commonplace that I'd go and find a cabinet maker or a kitchen company to do it for me. Why? Because if I try and do it myself, it's going to take me longer, it's going to cost me more, I'm likely to make some mistakes, and I'm not going to know the latest and greatest innovations to make the best possible kitchen that I can make. Yet when people decide to build a business, they go, I'm going to do it on my own. And it takes them longer, it costs them more, they're going to make mistakes, they've got all of these things going on, and the cost of not having someone helping you is actually far greater than the cost of having someone working with you side by side. So when someone says, why should I get a coach? I say, because it's going to get you there quicker. And I think coaching speeds up the inevitable. And so if your business is a great business and it's going to succeed, we'll help you succeed quicker. If your business hasn't got legs, if it's not, you know, if it's got problems, we're going to make those problems rise to the top quicker. So, for example, if you've got a lack of systems, we're going to put pressure on the business to bring those out quicker, and then we can fix them and address them faster. And so I think, you know, coaching is really important if you want to get there and you want to get there quicker. If you're happy just to plod along and, you know, do average every year and slowly grow, and because the likelihood is you'll still survive in spite of yourself as a business owner, but with a coach you'll get there a bit quicker. No different if you're building something like that kitchen example. You know, if you're going to build that, I mean, I don't know about you, Anthony, but I've never built a kitchen on my own. I can imagine it's not easy.
No, I've never built a kitchen, and to be honest with you, my wife would never let me try. My experience with a hammer to date shows that I am not a kitchen builder.
Yeah. Yet if you're going to if you're going to build a business though, everyone lets you do that without any, you know, no one asks you about your skills.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that is I've found very interesting is that when you actually look at our education systems, certainly in Australia and also internationally as well, is that many of the training qualifications that people get, whether that's for an accountant or a lawyer or a plumber or an electrician or the kitchen builder that we've been talking about, all of those things teach you the how to do the job, but none of them teach you how to make a business out of it.
Yeah, and interestingly, if you look at some of the new trades, now I know plumbers, for example, 6 months of their trade at TAFE is about how to run the business, but even that is not about how to run a business successfully. It's more about how to do quoting, how to do pricing, how to handle, you know, unhappy customers, things like that. It's not, they're still not teaching them how to recruit, lead, motivate, and grow a business and market and do all of those extra things that is what makes the difference between a great business and an okay business. And I think, you know, I talk about, you've touched on a subject that I'm really, really passionate about, and that is education. I always say to people, if you want to earn more, you've got to learn more. All these, you know, these get-rich-quick schemes that are out there, none of those are really going to work because it takes a long time to get the knowledge you need to get the results. And it's true in any business. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, it's online, it's offline, it's service, it's wholesale, it's retail. It doesn't matter. You've got to learn the ropes if you're going to be very successful at it. And I think it's a shame that once we leave the scholastic system, so I use an example of if your child went to school in year four and repeated 5, 6, 7 years in a row at year four, it wouldn't be acceptable. We'd be going to talk to the principal, we'd be talking to the teachers, we'd be getting psychological testing done on our kid, we'd be, you know, there'd be so many things that wouldn't be, we'd be asking so many questions about that situation. Say, how could a kid possibly repeat year four, 7 years in a row? But in our business, in our adult life, adults repeat the same year, year after year, year after year after year after year after year after year, and no one ever questions it. And yeah. And I'm talking about graduating from, you know, things like, is your bank account better? Is your mortgage reduced? Are the holidays you're going on better? Is your life better? Is the time you're spending with your family increasing? Have you graduated every year in your personal life after you left school? Because graduation doesn't stop at school. And I think that's a big challenge for business owners, is that you can, I mean, what does it take to start a business these days? A clever business name, $118, jump on the Department of Fair Trading website, register your name and whammo, you're a business owner. You go to a barbecue, your friends ask you what you do, and you say you've got your own business. They all think you must be rich, when reality is...
The reality is you've got a business name and possibly a whole lot of debt, and you're scratching your head wondering what they're going to do next.
Yeah, what do I do next? Yeah, that's it. So I'm with you there, mate. I think that there needs to be more education for people in business, much more.
So in the absence of education, that creates a nice opportunity for people like yourself, Ben, in the coaching arena. What are some of the tips that you might give to a business owner, particularly about considering the selection of a coach?
So I think it's really important to understand that coaching is it's an important journey that you're going to embark on. So you've got to make sure you get a person that you can get on with, but having said that, you don't want it to be somebody that you're going to be that friendly with, they're going to let you get away with not doing things. Because I think coaching is about having someone there, I like to call it your unreasonable buddy. And so it's that person that's willing to call you on your behavior, because it's not that you don't know what to do as a business owner. Typically when I say to a business owner, write down the 20 things you know you should be doing that you're not doing, they're pretty good at that. They can come up with a list pretty quickly. And then when you say, why haven't you done it, there's usually three reasons. Don't know, too busy, or too lazy. They're the three things, or a combination of all three. And so a coach is there to give you the knowledge, hold you accountable. So, you know, if you're too lazy, make sure that they give you the drive and motivation or whatever it might be, or the kick up the butt to get the work done, but also help you become more efficient in your time, because we are in an ever-increasing distracting world, you know, with all this social media. And I mean, I don't know how many messages are coming through to our brains every day now, but I know it's increased like tenfold from 20 years ago, if not more. And so we're getting all this stuff coming into our lives on a regular basis. It's becoming very easy to be distracted. And I think that's why people get so busy, you know, it's just people are always so busy now.
Yeah, look, it's interesting, and those distractions, I remember one of the other interviews that I did recently was with somebody in the marketing arena, and they were telling me that we typically, every single person is hit by anything between 3,500 and 5,000 advertising messages every single day.
Yeah, which is incredible, you know, it is incredible. So when you're choosing a coach, you want someone that's going to be able to keep you on track and make sure that even if you say, hey, I'm just busy, I've got all this stuff going on, that they don't accept your excuses and they will push you through that. I think that's really important, you know.
one of the things that I've found that often works when I've had coaches myself is the determination of what are the priorities. What is that 80-20 stuff? The, you know, those 20% of things that are going to give you 80% results, as distinct from spending all 80% of your time doing the 80% of stuff that gives you little value. Is that the sort of thing that you would work on with your clients to actually help keep them targeted like that?
Definitely. I mean, one of the resources that's non-renewable in everybody's life is time. And it's the great equalizer. Everyone's got the same amount of hours. It doesn't matter whether you're Richard Branson or you're the bum on the street that's homeless. Everyone's got the same amount of hours. So it's about how do you invest those hours. What it is that you do with that time that's going to matter more than anything else. You know, you've heard the saying, it takes money to make money. Sure, you need some money to invest somewhere, but it's actually not true. It doesn't take money to make money. It takes time. And the time then has to be spent in the right areas to create money, because what is money? Money's an idea backed by confidence and then execution. So if you want to get good results out of your business, then you've got to make sure you invest your time in the right areas. And what I mean by that is things like, for example, putting together a business plan. Now, I know for a fact that less than 3% of businesses in Australia have a business plan. And that means that they don't have a marketing plan either, because that's a part of a business plan. They don't have a recruitment and training plan. They don't have a a technology plan to keep up with the digital age. So if they're not planning for all of these things, what are they doing? Well, they must be getting up each morning and just hoping for the best. And, you know, it's not the best way to run a business, is it? So, yeah, I certainly do agree with that whole 80-20 rule. 80% of your time should be spent working on 20% of probably what, you know, is going to do the most effectiveness, 80% of the most effectiveness. So because it's that 80-20 rule. If you spend all your time working in the business, you're in trouble.
Yeah, definitely. Ben, in terms of the process of coaching, you know, what is there a sort of a typical process or profile of how you might go about coaching a business? So maybe give some of our listeners a sense of ease that this is not all this scary stuff where I'm going to be challenged all the time.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've made a big effort to do in the last 24 months in particular is really change the way that we deliver what we do. If you jump onto LinkedIn and you know, search for a business coach, there's actually over a million in the world, and there's over 40,000 of those are in Australia. And it's easy now to call yourself a business coach. So really, what is a business coach? Well, a business coach is someone who can hold you accountable to do what you need to do. When it comes to what we're doing now, I'm now saying, okay, we do business coaching, but what I want to be known as is your business growth team, because it's not just about coaching. Coaching's important, but you also need somebody to point you in the right direction when you need resources. So for example, a coach can say, okay, you need a marketing plan. Well, great. You've been told you need a marketing plan. What next? Do you have to go and find that yourself? So as an organization, what we've really been busy doing in the last couple of years is developing an online portal. Our clients log in, and if they need a marketing plan, we've got a template for them, and then a coach is there to answer their questions. So it's not all about kicking your butt saying, go and make a marketing plan happen. Say, okay, you need a marketing plan. Here's a tool, and now let's hold your hand and help you do it. A coach should also be there to answer your questions if you hit the wall during, you know, any time during the week. Something may happen in your business and you're not sure how to handle it. You need someone that you can confide in and say, hey, this is what's happened. I'm not sure what to do. Give me some ideas, you know. And I think there's always been this challenge for coaches to understand what's the balance between asking and telling, you know. So I've always been famous for saying, what's the difference between a coach and a consultant? Well, a consultant will take the watch off your wrist and tell you the time and give it back to you when you need to know the time. As where a coach will ask you the right questions to help you understand how to tell the time, you know. The coaches have to be a balance between two. That's my belief. And I think for people to get maximum value out of a relationship with the coach, they have to be backed by some sort of resources to help their clients implement and execute, because that's where they fall short.
But one of the things that I found when I was developing my businesses and everything else, at times I had multiple coaches, because I often found that individuals were, like all of us as business owners, were skilled in certain areas but not necessarily in other areas. Do you think that, you know, that's a smart way for a business owner to develop their business, and that is to, you know, have different people for different skill sets?
It definitely. I mean, every business owner does anyway. They're just not called coaches. So they have an accountant. That's really their financial coach, or that's their compliance coach, if you like. You know, they'll have a printer. Well, that's their printing coach. They'll have a web design guy. Well, that's their web design coach. They're just not called coaches. They still have plenty of people out there with knowledge in a specific area. And I think there's a lot of validity to having experts in their chosen field. Having said that, I think it's good to have a generalist by your side as well. who can have that objective outsider's look, so that helicopter view. And I get a lot of people say to me, for example, we have people come to us that might be, let's choose the real estate industry. Let's, you know, they're fairly encouraged to get coaches. And when we talk to them, they go, oh, no, I think I'll work with somebody who's an industry expert from within the real estate industry. And I have a challenge with that, because what happens is people get institutionalized. So when you're an expert in a field, you become institutionalized, and sometimes you stop thinking outside of the box. So whilst you might pick a specific person for a specific task, online marketing coach, real estate coach, whatever it might be, you've also got to start to think about, okay, well, is this person going to be thinking outside of the box, or are they going to be institutionalized because they've been wrapped up in that cocoon for so long? So I think there's pros and cons with everything, and that's, to me, some of the challenges with that, but also the advantage is that they are only working in one area in particular, and that makes them very proficient. So, yeah, I do agree you need many. And you might have these people that you call in for specific things. So, for example, when I started to do a lot of public speaking, a lot of people think I'm just a natural. I actually struggled with it in the beginning. I was in bands before I got into this industry, and so I was used to being on stage, but once my guitar disappeared, I was really nervous. And so I thought, well, I've got to get better at this. So I went and got myself a presenting coach. And, you know, when I got better at this, and the presenting coach sort of said, you're really good at this now, that's it, you're on your own. So there are times when you might get an individual coach to help you in an individual area as well, if you've got a, you know, you need some strengthening there.
Yeah, Ben, you touches on an interesting thought, and that is that is a coach somebody that you have for all time, or is it, as you've just described, you bring in and out of a business as needed?
I think it's up to the individual. And it's a great question you've asked me there, Anthony, because I think what's happened is that in the coaching industry in particular, is coaches have relied on a small group of clients. And when one of those clients makes the change to how they want to work with their coach, it affects the coach's income greatly by a huge percent. And so I think a lot of the decisions that coaches have made, or advice, or the way they've swayed their clients, have actually been for the wrong reasons. And that's one of the beautiful things about having a company my size, is we now make our decisions for our clients based on what the client wants. Sure, if you just want to go down to once a month, we're okay with that. Whilst you may pay us, you know, 25% of what you would if you were on every week, roughly, but you're still, we're still happy with that, because you're getting what you want. You're going to get the results you want. And when you're ready to turn it up, then turn it up. I think it's wrong to say that you need to be coached every week. Some people have more discipline than others, for example. So you've got some people, if they're coached monthly, will get a lot done. You have to other people, you know, we talk to them 1 month, and then in a month's time we talk to them and they've still done nothing. Well, that's no good. So they're going to get a worse return on investment, and that's not what we're about. So we've got to go, okay, well, if you're not disciplined to get the work done, then you probably need more regular contact. If you're disciplined, you may need less contact. If you're unable to, because you're just, you know, you're in a crazy business that's really busy at the moment and we haven't got the systems in place yet, then maybe you need less. Maybe something goes completely wrong in your business and you need a whole bunch of, you know, urgent help, then you can turn it up. I think it's about really moulding it to what your needs are at that particular point in time.
Yeah, and of course that's going to be different for every individual business owner, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Ben, with coaching, I, like you, probably have got a bias about coaching and mentoring because of working in that area myself, and I see the need for it. And I just, you know, I guess the key thing that I see in terms of that need is the fact that no business owner's got all the answers, and you know, every person who's in business is going to require help at some point. And sadly, often they go to the wrong people, so family and friends and all those sorts of people who don't necessarily understand the business. So I'm really, really convinced that, you know, coaching and mentoring is the right way to actually help you grow your business. Are there any sort of final points or tips or traps of the coaching business that, you know, our listeners need to look out for?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, you're right. Well, they say that the cheapest advice is quite often the most expensive advice. You just don't pay up front for it. That's what they say, isn't it?
I think, like I said,
we're both biased because we're in the industry, and I'm, you know, I've had coaches in so many areas of my life now that I couldn't imagine going without them. It really does fast-track things. One of my sort of mantras is that if you want to be successful, then you've got to do what successful people do. And if you look at all the entrepreneurs in this world, they all have advisors or coaches or somebody. You know, no one's made it on their own. You know, if you read any of the books by the Richard Bransons of the world, they've all had people there to help them get there. So I think, you know, as my final sort of tips, yeah, I think coaching is important if you want to be more successful than you currently are. If you're happy with where you are, if you're content, and that's what your lot in life is, I don't think anybody should try and sway you to think that you need to be more successful. You know, I get people come to my events and they say, well, I'm just happy with what I've got. Okay, well, don't whinge to people when you're not happy with your bank account or the car you drive or the holidays you don't take or any of those things. If you decide that that's what you're happy with, that's okay. You have and you have 100% of everything you decided to have. And if you're happy with that, great. However, if you want to be more successful and you're not sure how to get there, well, it just makes sense to get somebody to help you, whether they're called a coach or an advisor or a business accelerator or whatever they might be. It just makes sense to go and get some outside help from somebody who does it every day of the week. And, you know, a coach, that's what a coach does. It's no different to the carpenter example I gave you earlier. A coach works with business owners every day of the week. They know what's working. They know what the blockages are. They know what, you know, if you're busy, they know where to look to free up some time. They know how to help you identify who in your team is a good team member and who's not. They know how to help you get the marketing right. That, you know, so this is the thing. They're doing it every day of the week. They see what's working and what's not. Why would you spend a whole bunch of time and money working out what doesn't work when you can go to somebody that's already done it? And so that's my thinking is, if you want to build a more successful company and be more successful yourself, I think it's just common sense to get some help.
Yeah, look, it's certainly common sense to me. One of the things that I've noticed, Ben, and I don't know whether this is the same with your business and your coaches, is that I find that a lot of the time we spend, or I spend, getting the business owners right and the rest of it getting the actual business right. Do you have that same experience where a lot of this is actually getting people's attitudes reframed?
Absolutely. And one of the things I always say is that your business is a direct reflection of you. And, you know, if your business is a mess, that's because you're a mess. You're not organized. So it is a big part of it is getting the business owner's mindset right. And that's what you asked me at the beginning, sort of what is it that helps people go from working in the business to on the business, or those service-based people not having to do everything. I think a big part of it's mindset is just saying, first of all, it is possible. It is possible that I could hire somebody else that could actually do the job better than me. And, you know, so it is working on their mindset. And then attitude, you just use the word attitude. It is about having a positive attitude. I know it's not the woo-woo or the rah-rah. It's not about that. It's about having a can-do attitude, going, well, sure, I'm going to have things that don't work. That's going to happen. That's natural in any evolution of anything. There are things that are going to fail. But you've got to be prepared for that and go, okay, instead of getting all cut up and upset about it, learn from it and say, okay, well, what is it that went wrong? Why did it go wrong? And what can I do better next time to make sure that I minimize the risk? You can never eliminate the risk, because that's what growing a business is about. It's about taking those punts, and you know, sometimes it's going to pay off, sometimes it's not. I can tell you, I've taken my hits, and I'm sure there's plenty more to come. But without learning from those and understanding how to then you know, leverage off of those lessons, then I think that's the key. You know, so you've just got to continue to want to grow and be more successful, and I think learn from those mistakes.
Ben, look, thank you very much for your time today. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I trust our listeners have got some ideas about the relevance of business coaching for their businesses and start doing something about it.
My absolute pleasure, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Success Radio podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, simply check Biz Success Radio on your current podcast player, or visit us on our website, businesssuccessradio.com.au.